This is a conversation with Samuel Funflow. Samuel is an international dancer, instructor, and choreographer known for his playful energy and versatility across salsa, bachata, zouk, and kizomba. Founder of Funflow Dance and co-creator of Diversity Dance, he is dedicated to breaking gender norms and making dance more inclusive. In 2023, he became world salsa champion at Salsa Nama in the Impro Social Couple category, earning recognition for his magnetic stage presence and engaging teaching style.
Okay, I'm here with Samuel Funflow at Miami Salsa Congress 2025. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me.
You're welcome.
First, I guess just a couple of questions regarding your upbringing and how you started in dancing, just so we can kind of build the timeline. You know, I guess, yeah, how did you start and why did you start?
So for the ones that they don't know, I'm a dinosaur of dancing. I've been dancing for 20 years. So I started 20 years ago. I'm from a small island in Spain, Tenerife, and I started there. It was because of a girl. She told me, let's go dancing. And I was like, no. I was really bad at dancing, really not rhythm at all. And then I thought, okay, it's going to be there, going there for half an hour, then back a half an hour plus the hour of the class. Yeah, I will try. Yeah, I'm so happy because she changed my life, because like going to that class, it was like, wow, that's great. That's amazing. And it was a first class, it was a merengue class. And then they were doing merengue, salsa, bachata. And yeah, and I got hooked. And then I was like, she's like, no, I don't really like this. Like, I do. And then I kept doing it. Yeah. So it was like 20 years ago, more or less.
And then from there, what was the progression? You kept taking classes. How did you end up so, where you're at?
I always take classes. Like, I like to learn a lot. I'm a nerd. I always like to learn. If I learn something and I feel that I'm stuck, I try something new. So sometimes my problem is that they only have 24 hours, so it's kind of difficult. So back there in the island, like, I got to the point where I had taken classes with all the teachers there, so it's not a big place. So I got kind of like to a roof. It's like, yeah, here I feel like I'm trapped. I cannot learn that much, because even them, like, they didn't travel that much, so they didn't get new ideas. And back then there was not YouTube or like whatever. You were learning by DVDs or downloading from the internet, and sometimes you get like X movies. It was not really what you were looking for. Then I started going to festivals, Spain mostly, and I was like, whoa, that's great. People, like, they know a lot more than what like I've been learning in Tenerife. And then I moved into Italy for a year. I was living in Milan for a year, and I train a lot there. And yeah, since there I have been like traveling a lot, and every time I have the opportunity. This morning I was here in the festival. I went to one of the workshops to take it as a student. I always keep learning, and as I dance a few styles, it's sometimes hard to keep up with all the dances that I dance, but I'm a bit like hard on myself, or I don't know how to explain that in English, but like, now I introduce a new dance, I'm learning lambada too, so it's like I always like, oh, I want to do this, and then one more thing. So yeah.
How long have you been taking classes until you start feeling, I guess, comfortable, or start feeling like you're a good dancer?
I still feel like I'm not a good dancer. I dance having fun and I enjoy a lot. So if I would compare myself with other dancers, I always like, oh wow, this person is amazing. You know, like, we have this kind of like imposter syndrome sometimes. And I know I dance good, but I don't see myself as a good dancer, you know? So I always try to keep better. And I'm nice to myself, so when I talk to me, it's not like you're bad or whatever. No, I see a video, it's like, oh, this is great. But on the other side, the lines are not good, or what, so I always try to keep working on whatever I'm doing.
At what point you felt like you could dance? Like, I guess maybe you had a breakthrough, or you felt like, okay, I can actually do the moves, I feel more comfortable on the dance floor.
I think that was earlier than I was actually good. When I was a beginner, it was like, yeah, I learned some moves, some setenta and chufla, and then I went to the party, like, whoa, I feel like Chayanne, I'm good. And then a few years later, I was watching those videos, and I was like, no, you were not good, you just were ignorant. So I think like it was not that much. It was maybe like 6 months, a year dancing. I was like, oh, I felt confidence. I could ask people on the dance floor. But then I watched the videos a few years later, and I was like, oh, you were terrible. These people probably were not having that much fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, so when you were taking classes, was it predominantly one style or multiple styles all at once?
I started first with salsa. So I started with like this mix. It was salsa, merengue, bachata. But then I started with salsa. I focus. I like to, when I have something that I want to focus, I go for that. I focus on that. I learn as much as I can. And then I keep learning that forever. But like I have a part of my life that I'm focusing on that. So first it was in salsa. I was focusing in salsa for maybe the first, I would say 10 years. And then I started like bachata. I got fully into the bachata world, like learn a lot, taking a lot of classes, training a lot. Then I went to Kizomba, and I was in the Kizomba world training a lot, like in, when I was living in Berlin, in Germany. And then I went to Zouk. Zouk was my last love. And then I was like living in Madrid. It was a good opportunity because William and Irene, that is like a couple from Zouk, they are really, really good, and they were there. So it was great. And now I'm learning lambada. I'm still a baby lambadero. So yeah. So this is more or less my journey.
In, with salsa in particular, what would you say that to you, some of the most important things for new dancers? Because, and the reason I ask that, because some people say, you know, being on count is the most important thing. Other people talk about musicality. Other people talk about just body movement. What has been for you as far as salsa goes, like the priorities and that made you feel good?
I mean, I have a kind of like controversial point of view about that, because I think salsa has been stuck for some years, right? So right now there is a new generation like giving new ideas, and some organizers, they are giving the room for that. So salsa can evolve, because like the old generation, they were doing the same. And if there is no new ideas or newcomers or new things that you put on the table, the new generation, the old generation are going to keep doing the same, because it's something that is good. It works. Yeah. So I feel like right now we are changing a little bit the salsa war, and the old generation are they feel, oh, this is new, let's take it. And they push themselves more than before, that I felt that it was like same faces everywhere all the time. Still a lot to change, but I think like if we all push in the same direction, which is evolution, because like sometimes when I see something that a huge star is doing right now, it's not the same way they were doing like 10 years ago, because mm-hmm. there's like evolution. And right now, for example, for me, I find a lot of walls that they tell me, you cannot do this. And it's like, why? Which is the reason behind this. Like, you shouldn't stop stepping. Great. No one had explained it to me why you shouldn't stop stepping, except saying that's how it's done, how it was done. But then I say to them, okay, I'm going to give my argument. So I'm always willing to change my point of view. If you give me a better argument, I will do it. So I'm going to give you my argument. So my argument is, how many of the instruments they are like being played like only on the 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 7? None of them. So if I want to be musical, I need to have the opportunity to get out of the counting to be musical, and then I come back. This is what I do. So for example, there is no, when I'm stepping 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 7, I don't step in the 6.5. I don't step on the 8. And there's a lot of things going there in the music. So what I do is like, I tell my beginners, don't stop stepping, because they need to learn how to step properly. But once they are intermediate advanced, for me, it makes more sense to stop stepping at a certain point to be able to hit things in the music. And then you come back to your stepping. So this is one of the things that I think, like, if we kind of like share what we know with other teachers, and we old school, new school, we kind of change things like this. And it's not like, yeah, we do like this because it has been always like this, you know?
When you say stop stepping, do you mean like go with the music and just listen to, try to match the music?
Step the music instead of step the 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 7.
Right. So if the music, let's say, does some sort of rhythm like you did in class today, when it was syncopated rhythm almost in mm-hmm. some of the songs, then you would try to match that. Yeah. And if it stops, then you would just pause like you were shown in the class.
Yeah. So that's it. That's my idea. It's like if the song is doing, for example, we're dancing to Abre el Camino song. Ta, ta. Why should I be doing 1, 2, 3? The song stop, right. So I stop.
So, but some dancers told you that you should stop.
Yeah, some people say
kept stepping even though
some people say you shouldn't stop stepping.
Okay.
Even some of my teachers when we were learning, like or for example, in my dance I use a lot the body leading. So I don't use that much my hands for leading, because that creates a softer connection with my partner, and I can use my hands for different stuff that is not just leading you an inside turn. Because an inside turn I can lead you with my body. So some people is like, no, but we prepare with the hands and do this. For me, that doesn't feel good when you are following. So it could feel good, but it feels better when you are like when you're a follower and someone leads you in a softer way or like more connected or and then for me it's like why I need to keep doing that when my teacher told me you need to do 6, 7, 1 and you push your partner. But I go to a point like, yeah, that doesn't make sense. So I take classes with other people that they say like, oh, maybe you can do it this way. And I always try to teach my students we shouldn't do these things this way because it was done always like this. So it's like, yeah, we can open a new door. Yeah.
You mentioned leading with your body instead of like emphasizing hands. What other concepts you think are the key for especially like new or intermediate salsa dancers?
Key for like this is like for me the most important one. I had just a private with the guy and he was like leading like this. It felt a bit rough. Then when he changed that, it was like way better. Working on the directions, you know, when you are offering a direction or you are blocking the direction, that's like if the student gets this really clear, then it's going to be easier. And then for intermediate dancers, I used to work a lot, like trying to give them like some words and make them understand that it's not about how many words, you know, it's how many phrases you can do with those words. So because most of my dance is focused on six structures. I just mix those six structures that they are inside turn, outside turn, cross body lead, copa, stop on one, and right turn, or left turn if you're at the other. That's it. So you just change the hands, change the position, change add spins, but it's just this. So sometimes the students, they want to have more combos, more combos, more combos, and it's like, it's better if you learn those seven combos really well, and then you can play and create your own stuff. That's what I challenge my students all the time. It's like, okay, you have always you do after a simple turn, you do a copa and then like a right turn. And then I tell them, okay, when you arrive to the copa, you cannot exit with a right turn. Mm-hmm. And they need to open another door. So this is what makes for me when my students are in a good level, it means that they are able to choose the words and combine different sentences all the time. When I'm social dancing, I don't have a pattern on my head. And just go with the flow, whatever happens. So because maybe the follower didn't understand, or maybe she's proposing something else, or you know, this type of thing that is like a GPS. You're going this way, it's like, oh no, recalculating. Oh, you're going this way, no, recalculating. So that's why when I dance with someone, you cannot see that many mistakes. It's not because I don't have the mistakes. It's because I fix it exactly on the spot. It's like, oh, it didn't work. Okay, let's change it. So some people, when the leaders kind of force the followers to go in that direction, and the follower doesn't understand or wants to do something different, then you're going to see it, like a stop in the connection. And this is something we should work on that direction, I think.
Why do you think, my perception is that it's not taught in a lot of studios the way that you explain in the sense of concepts.
Yeah.
It's taught in the sense of moves a lot of times.
For sure.
Why do you think it's not being taught that way to where people can explain, okay, this is a 5 to 7 moves. Master the concept of understanding how to put them together and change them versus continue to teaching moves.
I think that has two reasons. Okay, one is the industry is established like this. So to do something that is not what it works, you need to be brave and you need to be able to think outside the box. Not a lot of people are brave enough to do that. I was not. I was like, when I was working maybe 7 years ago, I was like, no, this is what it works. So if this organizer is hiring me, it's because he wants me to teach a crazy combo of partner work or like a some footwork that is people go home with this and they clap and the fancy thing, blah. This is the first thing. So luckily, like kind of like 5, 6 years ago, I decided that I was not going to do that. So I'm gonna give the students a little bit of what they want, but I'm going to give them what they need. Because I think like this is how we make this bigger and we make people understand. So I usually don't teach patterns or like except the organizer asked me for that, but I prefer to teach more concepts or musicality or creativity, which is like maybe in this hour I'm gonna be talking, I'm gonna be putting ideas in your brain, and later on that's gonna make sense for you. So it's a different class, and this I take it a lot from Brazilian souk. In the souk classes, like in the festivals, sometimes you are talking about spine and you're talking about spine for 3 hours. But once you understand how your spine works, when you're going to do cambres, you're not going to injure people. So it's smarter to do this than just come and do a figure in which you are doing a cambre because people are going to do wrong and they're going to hurt other people. So I think it's a matter of the system, how it's set up. So in the Souq system, like, people are more willing to learn concepts and to go this way. In the salsa people, we need to educate the people. So that's what I do with my classes. Like, hey guys, I tell it. I said, you were in the class today. It's like, I know this is what you want, but this is what you need. And I'm gonna try to give you mostly what you need and a little bit of what you want, so they hire me again next year. But trying this combo is difficult sometimes. Yeah, and the second thing about the why this is like this, I think it's because, like, sometimes it's the organizer don't give the room for that. So they bring people, or they give you classes that they know it's gonna work for them. So if you keep doing that in the long term, you're gonna end up having the same. So we need to kind of like open a bit our minds and try to see, okay, this is like this, perfect. We're gonna try to do another way, because it's another way is possible. And if I have changed my mind, because I was thinking the other way before, if I was in a class with a certain person, I said, yeah, I want his crazy footwork. And then I understood, no, but if I learn to know how he thinks, I can do a lot of combos, mm-hmm. because I understand what he's thinking. So it's a different approach.
How much control do organizers have over how you teach?
I think they don't, like, they just ask you what you want to teach, and they put in the workshop plan the classes. But it's not only about this, it's a little bit about the pressure. I don't think it's kind of from the organizer perspective, it's maybe from the scene, how it's built. So they push you in that direction, and you don't want to fail to the organizer. So it's not like actively the organizer is telling you, don't do this. Mm-hmm. It's more like the community, it's pushing you in that direction, and you don't want to fail to the organizer, so you do what they expect from you.
Gotcha. Musicality today, musicality workshop today. Really enjoyed it. There's a lot of great information. Definitely learn a lot, and the way that you approach it is very interesting. What is musicality to you?
For me, it's painting the music with your body and your partner's body. That would be musicality for me. So using what you feel in the song to kind of like show it to your partner, or even to yourself. Sometimes, like, I do musicality for myself, because sometimes I'm in a places that they don't speak Spanish, and I love to play with the lyrics. And sometimes I know if I do sol and I'm gonna go for a san, the person is not gonna know. So I do musicality for myself sometimes, but it's like mostly with a couple. Yeah, that would be musicality for me.
In today's class, you've done few things to demonstrate that you not just familiar with music, but you know music. What can do, a new dancer or intermediate dancer, to really understand musicality? Do you have like some bullet points to highlight on that?
First, I would recommend them to take classes with good teachers, because once I took classes with good teachers that they knew what the music was about, then I understand. I have taken as well some classes with musicians that they show me, okay, this is the way, or that's why, or whatever. So that's one thing. In terms of musicality, it's understanding the music. Because for me, what I struggled the most when I was starting learning how to dance, it was my teachers didn't have the tools. So they were like, feel it. Don't you feel it? No, I don't feel it. So you need to tell me in another way. So once I got to teachers, that they were like, okay, this is a structure. It happens like this, like this, like this, like the class we did today. For me, if I would have that class like 10 years ago, it would have saved me so much time of my life, like doing research and stuff, because it's like, it's so easy. Once you understand, like if someone break it down for you, it's easy. It's like, this is ABC. And it's going to happen like this most of the time. You're going to have exceptions, for sure. But most of the time, it's going to be this. So instead of feel it, which is what I think I have a trauma with it. understanding the music. And then I think this is understanding the music. Once you understand the music and you have the tools of your body, because for me, musicality is two things. One thing is understanding what is happening. And the other thing is being able to like show that with your body. So if you don't have the tools of your body to show that you are listening, you can be musical doing this. Mm-hmm. But it's not salsa. So you have to have the foundation of salsa in order to put it on top of what you hear in the music. So that's what, for me, would be the main two bullets that you would need to be musical.
So I think with some people, they prefer to be very structured And but some people, they prefer to be a little bit more loose. I think I'm wondering about like the teaching style to, how do you determine that, I guess? Do you figure out what works for a student before you start teaching them? Like, let's say with musicality.
For me, when it's a festival, I try the way that I think it will please more people. So because you, it's like probabilities. You have like maybe 70% of people, we understand if it's in a structured way. And there's other people that this way doesn't work at all. I was training with a friend that she's like, we were training Kizomba. And for me, it was like, on one, you put there, and then you torso, blah, blah, blah. And she was like, but I need to breathe it. I need to feel my chakras. This is not the way I teach. It's impossible for me. I don't feel it this way. So these people, if they are more in a private class, I can go this way. But in a group class, they're going to focus on the mainstream people. And I want to focus on the technique, structure, and stuff. If it's one-on-one, I always try to find a way that I can connect with the person, and I try to make you understand what I want. So it's like, maybe I'm going to be talking, if I don't know, about fruits, if you are like a fruit lover, you know, like, right. Or you, I try to find a way to make it to you so you understand what I mean. But in a regular class or in a workshop, it's more like to the main like crowd.
You won Sal Cinema in 2023.
Yeah.
What was that experience like for you?
For me, it was unexpected, fully unexpected. I don't really like competitions. So I started liking like improvisation competition like Jack and Jill in Brazilian Zoo. And it was not because I decided, it was my mentor. He was like, go, do it. It's like, no, I don't like competition. Go, do it. Like, okay, I'm going to do it. So I started doing it. And then I found out that like social, like improv social, I like it. It's fun. It's like, I just have fun, enjoy with the person, with the partner. If I get a prize, I get it. If I don't, I don't care. I don't know. I know that my dance is not defined by a result in a Jack and Jill, because you could have a bad day. You could have, you're not connected with that person. So, but I didn't like competitions. And this friend, Jorge, he was like, you know, Fernando Sosa is going to do this competition that is made for you. I was like, no, if it's a competition, it's not made for me. And he was so annoying. He was like, yeah, yeah, go, go. I even had another booking with the Souk company that we had with William and Irene in Warsaw. And he was so persistent that I told William, like, hey, I think I need to go there. My friend is so sure. And if I need to trust him. If he said I should go, maybe I should go. And he said, it's fine. We will put another guy to do the show for you. Great. So I went there. I went with my friend Fabrizio Soto. I was staying with him. And then we went there. And I was like, Fabrizio, no, my friend is unwell. He's great. And Fernando was like, okay. Yeah. And then I was there in the competition. And I was like, I was doing what I do. It's like, I have fun with another person. I don't care if this is public or not. And what they were doing, it was more or less the same. So I brought like a new ideas and new stuff. And it worked. Like, I won. I didn't expect it at all. And once I was in the finals, it was like, oh, maybe it could be, you know. And I was super lucky as well. I got Sasha in the finals, which is amazing. We met there that weekend, and I told her, you can pray to all the gods that you want, like Ogun, Chango, Buddha, whatever, Jesus Christ, whatever. But we need to dance together, like in the finals. And it happened. Like, we say that the day before.
Wow.
And we got together in the final. Yeah, it meant to be. And I'm super happy because I got from there not only like a prize, but I got like one of the best person which like I dance with. You know, like it's when we are together, like teaching or whatever, I feel like she has exactly the same energy. You know, because for me it's not about like being a good teacher or being a good dancer, it's about being a good human being. Like giving to the people what they need. Because for me, like when I'm in a social, if I smile at you and you had a bad day, or if I just dance with you in a nice way, make you have a great time in a social, people, like individuals, they have their own life. I cannot impact the life of this person, but I can impact 3 minutes of this person. So if I can change how she feels that day, for me, that's like a huge thing, a huge power that we have. And once you get to a point that people admire you and they follow you to go to the festival that you go and they come approach you, oh, I'm a huge fan of you. If you smile to that person during the dance and make him have a good time, it's going to make a change for them. Like, they're going to feel better. So Sasha is the same. When we are there in a festival, she takes care of everyone, no matter if you're beginner, intermediate, advanced. So that's one of the things that I take from Salsa Nama. It was great. And of course, my work got an exposure that I didn't have before. So I used to work a lot before Salsa Nama, but not as much as now. Because you are there, people see you, then Fernando Sosa bring you to dance with you on a stage, and he never danced with guys, and then he end up doing a demo with you in a stage. So like you get more exposure, and then of course in the long term I always try to do a good job. So when I go to a festival, I try that they are happy, so they recommend me or they hire me next event, and like this, like in 2 years, 3 years, it grow a lot. Like I had before the Salsa Nama, I had like 3,000 followers on Instagram. And I'm almost hitting 40,000, which is crazy.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It definitely helped with exposure, which is well deserved.
Yeah, of course, I have kept working. It's not that I wasn't Salsa Nama and that's it. I do content. I do interviews. I do. I'm a hard worker. But that push that it gave me Salsa Nama, it was big. It was really big. And in Latin America, for example, that they follow a lot the competition and stuff. Every time I work there, there's a lot of people that they know my work, and most of them is through Salsa Nama. They found me there and then they started following.
You mentioned smiling at someone can make somebody's dance experience different.
For sure.
Why do you think it's not taught enough in classes?
Because you got the wrong teachers. I mean, like for me, my students, it's something that I talk to them. It's like the approach. I think for being a good social dancer, you need to have like a high level of empathy to read how your partner is feeling, how your partner is doing, like when you can push a little bit more, when you can't. So to find a balance between challenge your partner, if it's your friend or whatever, or having a good dance. I think that should be been teaching in classes, and I think like people don't do that much. For example, like my sister and myself, that we share the same technique, we are really like annoying with that. It's like, guys, you need to be like really take care of your partner, make that this person have like the three best minutes of their life like with you. And that's how my goal with my students is that when they go to an event, people fight to dance with them, you know, it's like, because it feels so good to dance with them. So I train them till the moment they feel like this. So this is my goal. I got it with my sister. Now when she goes to an event, like people are like, wow. So it's just this, because it feels good. When you are when you feel heard, when you feel connected, when you feel like they give you space, because it's another thing. Like I think in salsa, we still need to work a lot in giving space to the followers. So I do that a lot, and you get smiles, because the followers all the time are this way. But they want to be talking as well. Like it's not like they want to lead. They just want to talk while they follow. So when sometimes you give them the space, they are like, oh, I can talk. It's not only I can style. No, I can actually talk during the conversation. So this is something I think we need to push a little bit. Like I always think like in the future, you know, like my brain is already thinking, how can we evolve this? This is one of the things that we do in Brazilian Souk a lot. That it's said. It's like people know that we have five types of followers, and then you're gonna give more space to each of them and stuff. And in salsa, I think we develop it. It's going there, but yeah. Some people tell us, "Are you crazy? This is not gonna work." I say, "Okay, I will give you some time. Then maybe you change your mind."
What would be example of giving your follower space?
So in our technique, we have five type of followers. So the first one is 100% passive. So it's just like a puppet, like following, that's it. Second one, it's adding styling. So the person will add stuff that is not affecting you as a leader at all. Third one is adding texture or proposing things within your structure, the thing that you are proposing as a leader. So I'm proposing an inside turn, and you still do the inside turn, but you change a little bit the timing, or you add like some structure on the movement, or you add it more sharp, more flowy. That feels a bit like changing a little bit to your lead the intention, but the move is completed after the inside turn. Number four would be proposing something that is not exactly what I ask. I ask for like an archway or like New York walk or whatever you call it. And then you stop me and do something with the music. And then we go in another figure. Okay, that number four. And number five is when you switch. You propose me to lead myself. So that's another follower. So those are the five types we work in. And then we work as well in giving the microphone, giving space. For example, if I'm dancing with you and I do like I bring your partner on that direction, I stop my partner. Once I look to my partner, I'm giving that partner like, okay, now is your moment, you can do whatever. You will be shocked how much they have on their brains. Like when you're dancing with people that they can be able to get to this level, or maybe do just a check and hold them there. They can do a lot of things. And sometimes we just like propose, but we don't listen. So in my dance, I listen a lot and I have so much fun because it happens things that I was not planning before. Like so many things. And of course, some people are going to feel more comfortable with talking, some followers. And others, they are not. They are passive. They just want to follow, which is fine too. You just need to understand what your partner... For example, when I dance with Sasha or with Jennifer Suha or with Jaisa Melero or with like Linda Aramendis, like they have a lot of like things to say. But they are dancing like this because they are not used to have this space. So when you create that space, they are super happy. It's like, wow, I get to talk.
The system that you mentioned, is it a system that can be purchased online?
What do you mean the system?
You mentioned the system that you mentioned just five things that Follow does in the system.
Yeah, this is part of my methodology.
Okay, so is that something that people can purchase somewhere?
Sure. Yeah, the website is almost done. It will be launched like probably next month. So it's samuelfanflow.com. I will have there all the trainings. Right now I have a Musicality Killers with Svetlana that we were talking about this. So this is going to happen in October. And this is about musicality in partner work. But the other ones is like, I will have different products, like how to like share their voice in the dancing of the follower, or how to different techniques inside my methodology.
Okay, very cool. So it's coming up soon.
Oh, yeah, I'm working on that. It's taking me a lot of hours of sleep, but it's almost done.
Very nice. So you're also proficient, very much so, in bachata. What would be, in your opinion, similarities and differences between salsa and bachata?
Wow, that's a huge topic. Because I always tell the people, like, you know, we need to take the best out of everything. So I'm a person, I do five things. So if I can get the best of this, the best of this, the best of this, the best of this, and then implement everything on that field, that feel is going to be better. So I always say that bachateros do better in a lot of things, that salseros, we should learn why they do this and how they do this and implement it in salsa. That's what I do. So I see this works better than this. Then I'm going to use this here. So bachateros do better in a lot of things. Of course, they do worse in other things. But for example, the way they embrace the change, much better than salsa. So a new song is popping up from Shakira. Tomorrow you will have 200 bachateros doing a demo with that song. When a new song of salsa, after so many years, like a trendy, real trendy in the mainstream world, came, Bad Bunny, a lot of people were complaining. Whoa. A lot of people were like, well, this is not good salsa, this is not... A lot of people. I heard so many people that they is like, yeah, this is like... Maybe it's not my favorite salsa. But it's making that my cousin, that she's like 20 and she never was interested by salsa, is listening salsa. And it's even listening plena and bomba, which is just like, for me, it was shock. He was sharing stories with Café Con Ron, which is like Puerto Rican like music. And I was like, oh my God. So when bachateros have a new thing, they embrace it. When we have a new thing, sometimes we criticize. So I think it's better like if we try to use this. If Bad Bunny makes a new song and this song is viral, we will have more students. Simply, they want to learn how to dance to Bad Bunny. Then your task as a teacher is like get that crowd that they want to learn to Bad Bunny and teach them, okay, that's good, but this is cool too. And then you can bring them to the music that you really like and make them love not only that commercial thing, but the whole salsa. So I think this is one of the things. Another thing, they work better in the social media. They are like, they take their cameras, they study how to edit videos, they really know, like this is one of the products that I'm going to have on my website, is like how to do videos better, because I think sometimes salseros struggle with that, and how to edit them quicker, and how to have a result quicker, and how to use social media. And I think bachateros do better than this, in this way. And the last thing is that I always talk with the organizers. I like to be straightforward and say, like, guys, we're doing this wrong. Maybe we can fix it. I was having a conversation with Anya from El Sol, and I was telling her that it's like, I think salsa, it's kind of like has been a block for a lot of years. So when I went to my first salsa festival, it was Salsoro 2007, I think, or 6. The lineup, it could be a lineup of today, 20 years ago. For me, that like it's crazy. The same lineup, no new names, like same lineup. We had it was Yamulé, Adolfo, Adrián Yanita, Super Mario. I don't know, a lot of people that they could be a big good lineup from today. In bachata, if you pay attention to a lineup of 5 years ago, the top and the people who are working are not the same. Because they give more opportunities. Of course, the people who are good from the old school, they're gonna stay. Like, of course, like Adolfo is gonna keep being Adolfo. But you give space to other people too. And I think that bachateros do this better. And right now, salsa, I think, is changing a little bit. They are trying to find a balance to give space to newcomers. But sometimes you need to win a competition or you need to do a viral video or whatever. But sometimes like, there is like a new dancers that they have a lot of talent and they have hard work behind and everything, and they don't get the space. Right now, I don't know if you know Said from the dance house, that he organized a few festivals like in Prague, in Budapest, in Italy. He did like, I think 2 weeks ago, a dance hub where he invited newcomers. It was only a festival with newcomers and two big names. And I think this is great. This is brilliant. This is something that it will push the scene forward because those newcomers will keep working and will like bring new ideas and stuff. And the people who were there before, they will, oh, okay, they're doing this. Maybe we can do this way. So yeah, I think that's the three things that I think bachateros are doing better than salseros. And on the other side, salseros, I think they are a bit more nerdy in terms of musicality, how to understand, how to. So I think like this is the thing that it could bring to the bachata people, because bachata people sometimes are not everyone, of course, but they are more on the surface, like yeah, that figure works or this, but studying the music and going to the roots and all this stuff, sometimes it's a bit more like. So I think bachata salseros do better on that specific.
Anything pertaining to technique that you think would be a similarity between two styles? Like, is there some technical aspects of the dance that you think would absolutely make both bachateras and salseras stronger dancers?
Yeah, for sure. It's I'm gonna have it next week. I'm gonna have a I think a class in DCBX because the organizer he asked me to do a SBK set class. So a class for salseros, bachateros, quizomberos, and zuqueros.
Wow.
And there's a lot of things that they are shared. Like empathy is a thing that every dancer should have, no matter which dance style you dance. Like if you can connect with your partner, I think those things that you have there, like it's the same for life and for dancing. So if you have a partner in real life and you are more empathetic, this person is gonna be happier. So same when you're dancing. Then aware of your own body. That's same for all the styles. Then the reaction of the followers, like how to react quicker, is the same. So you need to be sharp on the reaction and how to train that is the same for all the styles. Musicality, even like the structure of the music, are similar in all the styles. Like, really similar. Of course, like it's going to change a little bit, but it's really similar. And how to be musical is the same. You can be musical to Michael Jackson, can be musical to Beatles. So the patterns that you use are going to be, or the structures are going to be different because one makes you dance salsa, makes dance you bachata, makes dance you kizomba. But if you have a repetitive pattern in a salsa song, you can have a repetitive pattern in a bachata song, and you can have a repetitive pattern in a kizomba song. So there's a lot of things that, it's just like being a dancer. It doesn't make a difference any style. But of course, you need to have the foundations and the technique of each style. For me, for example, when I started dancing, one of the things that it was hardest for me is when I went to a souk social and they was, oh, you are a salsero. It's like, damn it, I didn't fake it enough. So for me, it's like wearing like a suit. You know, I wear my zuquero suit and I don't want people to find out that I'm a salsero. So right now, when I go to a social of souk, I feel like one of them. I feel like a souker. So when I'm dancing souk, I feel like I have my souk suit and anyone is gonna say, oh, but you're a salsero. Same when I go to bachata, I want people to feel that what I'm doing is bachata. It's not a salsero who can dance bachata. So I think like if you master like foundations and the structures of every dance, and you combine it with those things that I tell you that is for all of them, then you're gonna be like good at everything. But if you try just to using those common things do everything, you're gonna be someone who is faking it.
Mm. Yeah. Who were your inspirations?
I have a lot. I have a lot. I was talking with some girls today that they were from Boston. Back in the days, I was following these guys on not social media, because we didn't have social media. It was just like you download the videos from Ares and you got into your computer. And it was the Giraldo brothers. They live in Boston. Mm-hmm. I love because they were dancing, both of them, in the social, leading one follow.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that was like, it was like, oh my God, this is so good. And I was trying with my friends and stuff. And this is one of the things that I do now when I'm in a social, I try to find a friend. Let's lead her, two leads, one follow, two follows, one lead. It's like, it's really cool. So there, then I love as well, like in terms of like the old school salsa that I was like watching. I had a talk with Panayotis about this, and he had similar like resources when we were like, and I saw a lot of videos of one guy called Salomon, that he was from the US. Leon Rose, he's brilliant. His like technique is crazy. I have a lot of like small like inspirations, you know. They have Franklin Diaz for me, like it's like he's a god. He's like his technique is amazing, and he was like the way he understands music and dance is crazy. So yeah, I feel it's in Souk, for example, my mentors William and Irene, they are amazing, but every teacher that I learn like with, I get something from them, you know, like it's like I have a lot of inspirations instead of like one inspiration. Like.
Mm-hmm. What are your favorite events around the world?
Every event has a special thing, you know, like I love a lot the Croatian Samba Salsa Festival. It's like it's really fun, and it's like it's so intense when you are working there, because it's non-stop. Mm-hmm. There's day party, pool party, night party, and workshops and privates, but it's really good. I enjoyed a lot this year the Sydney Bachata Festival. It was really good. It was like the energy of the people was really nice. The Miami Salsa Congress so far so good. It's like it's really nice. I love festivals when they have sand and pool, and you can go wild in the pool parties. And I was talking to you before about these events that it was in Russia, in Rostov.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a school that is Respublika, and I was working there for, I think, if not 12, 14 years, in their anniversary, which is the same weekend as my birthday. And that place has a magical like feeling. It's like they are crazy. If they need to build a unicorn, because the party is about the unicorn, they will do it. If that, they go wild, they really go wild. So yeah. So that events there, it was like great all the time, fun, really fun.
And this is your first time in Miami?
This is my first time in Miami Salsa Congress. Yeah, okay. I was in Miami before, but in the Souk Festival.
Okay, gotcha.
A few months ago. Yeah.
Well, I can talk to you forever, but we already went over. I want to be respectful of your time. Anything else you would like to add in closing?
For me, it's like. Like the key thing is like to unbox who you are. Like try to like think outside of the box, learning the rules and learning the technique, but always try to think why we do this way. Like I always try to deconstruct whatever I do in life, and like personal life or dancing life. It's like, okay, I'm doing this way. Why? Like justify this to me. And then if it makes sense, I stay with you. If it doesn't make sense, then I try to find another way. So my advice would be like being open to changes, like in general, in the dancing scene, and be respectful to everyone. Actually, it's funny because every time that someone asks me this question, it's like what my grandparents will say. So they will say, be happy, be nice to each other, and respect to each other. I actually recorded them once, and I made this t-shirt because of them. And they are the ones that are on my back. And it's the sentence that is down there is what they say. Like, it's basically this. Like, enjoy life, be nice to people, respect people. And yeah, have fun. Have fun, flow.
Samuel, thank you so much for your time, for your wisdom.
You're welcome.
Really appreciate it, man. It was a lot of fun, and I learned a lot. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.